Welcome to episode 512 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and Donna. Royal Caribbean recently launched Utopia of the Seas, their latest Oasis-class ship. She's sailing 3- and 4-night itineraries out of Port Canaveral, which makes the perfect add-on to a Florida vacation or a short trip for people who can't get away for a whole week. Elizabeth and Sandy were on the pre-inaugural naming ceremony, and Elizabeth went back a day later to experience the first revenue sailing. They're here tonight to tell us all about it, so let's get started. So I didn't know that, and I got to tell you, I'm shocked that they're taking their newest ship and they're only doing 3- and 4-nighters.
Yeah, and it's Oasis class.
Yeah.
So that's it's two shocking bits of news, yeah, because Oasis class ships are huge, huge, like 7,000 people.
Yeah, it's hard to do everything on a 3-night. I would imagine on a 4-night too.
But. Yeah.
Well, if you go back-to-back like Elizabeth did, well, then you can really do everything.
You know, it's still hard to do. Well, I only had 6 nights because it was 2 3-nights with a 1 night off in between. So I still think it's hard to do everything on an Oasis-class ship in 7 nights. So 3 or 4 nights is you're definitely going to be left wanting more. But there are other new large ships that do this. One of Royal Caribbean's big competitors, it starts with a D and ends with a mouse. They have shorter cruises with one of their newer ships. So I think it's something that there's clearly a market for. You just have to, I think you have to be a certain kind of person. Wouldn't you say, Sandy?
Yeah, and I think it's good. A lot of people who ask me about shorter cruises are new to cruising and want to kind of test it out. So I think it's good for people like that too. And there's so much to do on these ships. It's like really ideal for families. Kids won't get bored on these ships.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that there's actually, somebody has interviewed me for a trade magazine asking about whether new cruisers would be disappointed with this ship. And honestly, I don't think they'd be disappointed as much as just overwhelmed. If they're the kind of, like, as an introvert, if this had been my first cruise, I would have been completely terrified to cruise again because there's just so much going on. Whereas if I need to sort of ease into something, but if you're the kind of person that like charges into, you know, into a party, and you know, or you're ready to go, then I think that you can do this. I also think it's a good match for somebody looking at, say Virgin Voyages, which is adult only, but who actually wants to bring their kids on the vacation. It's got a lot for grownups to do. It's got a little bit more of a party vibe, than a lot of other Royal Caribbean ships, but it's not wild. It's not, you know, it's still tame enough that you can feel comfortable bringing the kids.
And it goes to Perfect Day, their private island. So it's, sorry, George.
Thanks.
You don't like Perfect Day?
I have never been there.
Oh, ouch.
It got canceled the last time because of waves.
Oh, that rarely happens anymore,
yeah.
Man.
Thanks.
You know what you need, George? You need like a short cruise, like maybe a 3-night.
Yeah.
Or a 4-night.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, that might not be a bad thing. So it looks like you guys flew into Orlando. And how is the service from Orlando to Port Canaveral? And does Royal offer, is it land to sea, the shuttle service?
Yeah, we took the shuttle, actually. It takes 45 minutes, maybe. I mean, it's not bad. And it's you just go down into the basement of the airport.
And they will tell you that it's going to be an hour or more, but they always tell you that. It's always closer to 45 minutes. We did run into some traffic. There was something, I don't remember what it was. It was an accident or something. So we got caught in traffic, but even then it wasn't horrible. You know, not a bad commute. And it's a comfortable motor coach. So.
Okay. Yeah. So you get to the port. How is the whole check-in process in Port Canaveral? I've never sailed out of there.
Well, you've got a lot of reasons to do this cruise.
Yeah, I know. No, I just always find it easier to do Miami or Fort Lauderdale.
No, I think Port Canaveral is a really easy port to get in and out of, especially if they're driving you. I mean, I think if you're driving yourself, it's very well, the signage is really good. It's very easy to park at the port. But yeah, I mean, the port itself is Royal Caribbean's port. So, you know, it's big. Yeah. We got there a little later, so we just basically walked on the ship by the time we got there. There was no waiting, but when we were there.
Well, and several years ago, Royal sort of introduced the concept of car to bar in 15 minutes. And it truly does. I mean, I've done several cruises since then, and their embarkation process is so easy. If you've done your online check-in and you have your boarding pass ready to go, you pass through a few security lines, but you basically are just flashing, you know, either your boarding pass, your passport, or whatever you need at that point. They ask you your health questions if you didn't answer those, and then you're on the ship. There's no standing in a long line. And
I love that about Royal.
Yeah, it's so, so nice. And we actually got in at different times for the two cruises that I did. And even with more people on that revenue sailing, we still were able to get in, you know, pretty quickly, very quickly, I should say.
Great. Yeah, that's always nice. Mm-hmm. What did you have for a stateroom category?
We had a balcony. Yeah, it was basic stateroom, basic balcony stateroom.
I think the layout is nice. You know, the storage space is good. I will say when Sandy and I were together, we had the beds pulled apart. 3 inches that they pulled apart.
So close, yeah. She said I kicked her one night.
Yeah, she did. It's not a lie. It's quite close, a little cozy. But then when I was on with my husband for the second cruise, it was just fine. We were in one big bed and we were quite comfortable. The staterooms are very nice. I was in a balcony both times, and the second time we actually did a guarantee, which I've literally never done before. I don't trust it. Generally, but the price was right. It was sort of a last minute decision for me to do this cruise. And I ended up assigned to deck 14, which is right under the pool deck, but not a lot of noise. I didn't hear deck chairs scraping around. I didn't hear any of that. So that was kind of nice. I was a little bit nervous about it, but no, I was a lot nervous about it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they soundproofed this ship pretty well from what I experienced.
That's good to know, because I always try to avoid being under the pool deck.
Yeah. I still wouldn't do it. Like, I still wouldn't do it as my first choice, but if there's nothing else left, or if the if the cabins on deck 12 or 11 are all the way at the back, well, not all the way at the back, cause I like those, but you know, then I might consider it again, at least on this ship where I know that it's all good.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about food. Elizabeth, we know, you and buffets don't always get along the best. No. Did you go to this one?
I did go to this one. It was everything that I expect from a buffet. I was not disappointed. I was not pleasantly surprised. The food that I had was good, but you know, you never know how long it's been sitting out. It was a little crowded. I have changed my anxiety meds, so that might have helped a little bit. You know, I didn't just freak out, which I sometimes do. Sandy and I discovered one little hidden secret, though, which is that the Solarium Bistro is open for breakfast. Same food on the buffet, basically, much smaller scale, and hardly anybody was there.
And it is technically, too. Yeah.
Yep, and it's technically the adult only area, so no kids running around either. So I did that on my second cruise as well. It was quite nice. Indoor and outdoor seating. Yeah.
That was a really relaxing area, I thought. And the options were good for breakfast. Mm-hmm. I had everything I wanted, so that was good.
Is a breakfast there unique to this ship? Because I don't remember the other ones having breakfast.
Well, I can't tell you, because that's why it's a secret to me. We sort of stumbled upon it.
The last time, so I did a cruise, I think it must have been 2022. It was still kind of COVID-y times, but, you know, we were getting past it. And they didn't open the Solarium Bistro on that cruise. Like, it didn't open at all. So this was the first time
I probably just didn't have the staff to make sure that
Well, and lower capacities as well. So, but, and actually I was a little bit worried that maybe it was only open for the non-revenue sailing as sort of a, you know, a special thing. Cause sometimes that will happen with a trade industry event. But it was absolutely open for the revenue sailing as well. So that's a little treat. If you don't have kids with you and you want a more quiet, but you don't necessarily want a full sit down breakfast, which by the way, I did do one of the sit down breakfasts as well. And it was really quite good. So no complaints, all around there.
Cool. So in the notes here, it says you went to Giovanni's and that's where Wonderland was on some of the other ships. Is there no Wonderland?
Correct. There is no Wonderland. I know you're sad. I know you're sad.
Kinda. Yeah. I do like Wonderland.
They've put it where Wonderland is and where what is on at least the Wonder.
It's on the Harmony for sure.
Harmony is, it's there too. So there's a little bit of outdoor seating too. Although we noticed that with the outdoor seating, if the Aqua Theater show is going on, you can't see it because of the slides, but you can hear it. So if you don't, you know, mind an 80s soundtrack during your Italian meal, then that's just fine. But
yeah. I'm down with that.
Yeah. That bar was really pretty in there too.
That bar is very pretty. It's more of a wine bar. It didn't have a lot of cocktails, but very nice wine bar and quite popular. I mean, I think a lot of people sort of discovered that throughout the sailings.
So is the wine bar not down in Central Park anymore?
No, I didn't see it down there.
No, I think that's where Izumi is now.
Yep, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's been a little while since I've been on an Oasis class ship, so some of the changes, I was like, that seems different to me, but I wasn't sure. I think you're right.
Sounds like they're mixing it up.
Yep.
And I see there's a note in here. There's a new bar called the Pesky Parrot, and it replaced the Bionic Bar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So is it a parrot-themed robot?
Yes, George, that's exactly what it is.
Is it really?
That is exactly what it is. It's a tiki bar, but there is a parrot who is not a real parrot, so I'll just leave the rest there just so that there's some surprises. It's a tiki bar, and honestly, I didn't miss the Bionic Bar at all. The drinks there are kind of stock. It takes forever to get a drink. These bartenders and the tiki bar were fantastic, and it's got that tiki bar, you know, where you would get changing scenery and the walls and ambiance and all the drinks had fun names and things like that.
It's Trader Sam's at sea.
Kinda. Yes, but with fewer rum drinks, which was also nice for me who doesn't drink rum. Yeah, it's like there were more choices, so a wider variety.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a better use of that space than the Bionic Bar.
Yeah. And I was surprised it was busy at times, but it was never so busy that you didn't want to go in there, which I was kind of surprised. I figured with it being new, it would be a lot more popular. But it's popular by, you know, definitely. There was always somebody in there, but we could usually find some place to sit. So,
yeah.
Cool. And I see something here for the Royal Railway. I've never heard of it. Don't know anything about it. So fill me in.
Do you want to talk about that, Sandy?
Yeah. So this was a new dining experience, and it's themed as a railroad car. So it's like you're going onto a train, and it only seats 48 guests per seating. There's two seatings per night if they do two at the night. So that the tables are set up as four tops and two tops. So if you have a bigger party than that, you're going to get split up because it's like you're on a train and that's just the size of them. But there's a Wild West theme, which is more of their kid-friendly one. It's got actors coming in and, you know, the whole kind of thing. And when you're sitting there, you see the scenery going past the windows. So it's really like you're on a train. And then the other theme is called the Silk Road, and that one is more about the scenery and better for a date night, and not quite as rowdy as the Wild West theme. So that's a upcharge for that, but it's new.
So is it almost like virtual portholes on the window? Is that what you mean by the scenery?
Yeah. I would compare it to the Hogwarts Express Universal. Yeah.
Except that's honestly what I was thinking when you said
it. Yeah. It's that same sort of concept where you've got the video outside, or sorry, that your train is going through the countryside of England outside the window. And but of course it's matched up to whatever action is going on. And then they incorporate live actors as well, at least in the Wild West show. Mm-hmm. It was unclear whether they did that for Silk Road.
I was hoping you'd try it out.
Well, I was hoping to as well, but it was still reserved for VIPs, the revenue sailing, so I didn't have the opportunity to even try to get a reservation, unfortunately.
Yeah, they let us walk through when we were touring the ship, but we didn't get to eat or anything like that. But it's cool. Yeah.
Cool. So let's shift over to entertainment. And of course, since it's an Oasis class, it has an Aqua Theater. What was the show?
Aqua 82.
Yeah, 2-T-O-O.
Yeah. Okay.
So the soundtrack was fantastic. Like all sorts of 80s music. Fantastic for my generation anyway.
Yeah, you and me both. Liked it.
Yeah. All sorts of 80s music. And of course the show is fantastic. I mean the high dives and all of the stunts. It's what you would come to expect from an Aqua Theater show. I can't really say anything bad about those shows at all. They're just so impressive. The same ideas with the stage that goes up and down and, you know, can accommodate everything from a very deep water pool so that they can do high dives to a dance floor, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And the synchronized swimmers, the slack line, the aerial performers, it's really all of it. This show, especially if you're on a short cruise, I would say prioritize this show. This is the one you want to go see. Over the theater show. The theater show was fine, but I don't think it was anything really, I don't know. I don't really remember that much about it. I mean, the talent was great. The performers were great, but I just think the Aqua Theater is so unique and cool. So I would definitely do that.
I remember a lot about the stage show. It's a lot of contemporary dance music. They had like 16 dancers on stage. It was a huge cast. And considering they only do one stage show like that, I was kind of amazed at how large the cast was. I think definitely six vocalists. Now I'm starting to question myself. Was it six or eight? I think it was six. But singing all this sort of upbeat dance music, Calvin Harris and stuff like that, that you don't necessarily think of as vocalists. So definitely a more upbeat show. And the theme was not necessarily, what was it called? No, I can't remember. It just went out of my head. But it's basically a pop hit parade, you know, contemporary music. So it's good, but I did not see it a second time on the second cruise. I did see the ice show twice. The ice show was good. And then I intended to see the Aqua Theater show twice, but the second cruise, I got a 10:45 reservation. And if anybody's listened to the podcast for more than, 10 episodes, you know that 10:45 is very late for me. So I was in bed.
They also had a parade in the promenade area that had all those same performers from the stage show. And they were doing, I don't know if you remember, On the Wonder, and I can't remember the other ship that they do it on, but they have that their own superhero brand.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what they call them. but anyway, they had it's the Effectors, right?
Effectors, yes. Yeah. Thank you, yes.
So they had an Effectors parade, and they had, it went on for about 15 minutes, and it took up the whole promenade area. I was sitting in the Pesky Parrot, so you'll see those guys again, but they don't have a dedicated Effectors thing on the ship. Another thing about the ice show that I thought was interesting is it didn't have a storyline that they had to explain to us
last
time, which was kind of nice actually.
Yeah, it's called Utopia, Y-O-U, and basically it was sort of different ideas of utopias, including one that was more of a dystopia, and a sort of what that has meant over time. And so it was a cute little show. I mean, I make it sound, it's a cute little show. These people are doing tricks that I could never even imagine.
They are amazing.
They were incredibly talented skaters. So,
that's cool. I actually follow a figure skater with Royal Caribbean on YouTube, and she's actually on Utopia right now.
Oh, cool.
So you probably saw her and don't even
We probably did. I would probably recognize her since I saw that show twice, like 2 days apart. So.
Probably. So do you think Royal seems to be moving away from their bigger Broadway shows?
Definitely.
It seems like every ship that comes out, it's less and less of that.
Yeah, you know, Icon had Wizard of Oz, which technically is a Broadway-style show. I think that it does require a certain amount of space to have something like that. And then this next class of ships, they haven't said too much about the Discovery class, but I suspect that those the rumor is they will be smaller. They're going to try and, you know, pull back, and maybe the hope is that it will replace some of their older, smaller ships. And I think that on those ships, it's just so hard to do a full Broadway show. So I think we'll see reviews on that one, you know, on those, that class as well. That is purely Elizabeth's prediction of the future. I have absolutely no proof of that, but it seems to be, the writing seems to be on the wall.
I feel like the whole industry is kind of pulling back from the Broadway shows on the ships.
They're super expensive. I mean, I don't know I think people don't realize what the royalties are on those, but to do them basically for free, to include them, it's
and
very
expensive. They were like the licensed Broadway shows, you know, so if you go on a ship that still has them, see the show. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
But I have to, at least from my standpoint, it does make a difference when I'm looking at a cruise and I have the choice between three Freedom class ships. I look at which one's got the Broadway show, and that does sway me a little bit.
I
think I'm a sucker for a good review as well. I like all kinds of music, and I often like to mock the way that they're put together, because sometimes they're like totally non sequitur, but I think Broadway shows are, it's good that they can reach an audience that way. But I do think even a competitor of Royals that starts with an N and ends with Norwegian has also been pretty much said they're going to stop doing them as well. I think it's just such a cost suck. Talent is still the same caliber. It's just you're not going to get that storyline show necessarily. And Royal Caribbean honestly has a couple of really good original shows that do have storylines.
Columbus.
There's one about Christopher Columbus's brother.
And then
there's one about like the history of flight.
And then even The Effectors has technically got a storyline to it as well.
I really liked the show that they did with all the storybook characters, like Pinocchio and the Big Bad Wolf.
I didn't see that one.
Nope, me either.
And it was all very good music, and they were using modern music, but using, you know, like Here Comes Little Red Riding Hood and singing from the 80s doing the, you know, Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
And the Big Bad Wolf.
I do not remember that. Yeah. Yeah,
that was a very, very good show.
Yeah.
It was on the Freedom.
Okay. Cool.
So it looks like they have casitas on the pool deck. Is that the new thing that Icon has as well, that they've moved over?
I do think that Icon also has them, and it's the first time that I've actually tried them, so that's why I wanted to talk about them a little bit, just to see if they're worth it. They're less than, when we booked it, it was on sale, so I waited for a shore excursion sale, or a cruise planer sale, I should say. It was less than $200, and you get four bottles of water. It seats two people, so they're not like big cabanas like they have on Perfect Day or anything like that. They're just for two. I feel like there's 8 or 10 of them, and they're scattered around deck 16. So we were actually near the water slides, but there's a couple that are right next to one of the bars. They overlook different pools, and it was actually a really nice sort of home base. And we didn't have to do the fight for the deck chairs that you sometimes have to do. We could get up that morning and know that we had a place to go. And they do, if you're traveling with somebody else, like we were traveling with another couple, and we wanted to sit next to each other, so they recommended we get there very first thing in the morning so that they could put us next to each other. And we also learned a little trade secret. They say they open at 9, but go early, because if the guy who manages those casita assignments is there before 9, he'll go ahead and assign you. So we were actually late. We got there 10 minutes early, and two casitas were already gone. So bummer. But I do think it was worth it. It was nice to have this shade, and it actually rained on a little bit that day, so we also had cover when it did sprinkle a little bit.
Cool.
I just think, you know, having your dedicated space is, you know, because I'm not going to get up at 6 a.m. and save a chair. I'm just not. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is less than $200. So that's what, $50 per bottle of water. They also did bring a very nice fruit plate with two like fruit kebabs. It was really, really good. And we were very close to all the food and everything else too. So, but yeah, I mean, it's expensive when you look at it that way, but yeah, to have that reserve space and shade, you know, not only do you have a seat, but you have shade. And there's little lounge chairs beside it as well that aren't technically reserved for you, but nobody else will sit there because they're between the two casitas. So you can, you know, you can pretty much stake out a sunny spot if you want to.
Ooh, maybe that is where I will plant myself next time. I'm just kidding.
Mm-hmm. Without there you go. Right,
make some friends.
Right. Yeah. Be like, hey, you got any more fruit kebabs?
And they had a mason jar. Is that the restaurant?
Yeah, it's the restaurant that I think debuted on the Wonder. And I did not try it on the Wonder because it's Southern cuisine and I live in the South. So that's not generally something I seek out when I'm on vacation. Plus, I am very skeptical because Southern cooking is it's special. You can mess it up. And so I thought, well, I'm not
gonna. That is definitely true.
It's so true. So this time we went, somebody had told me, hey, the Mason Jar is a really good bourbon bar. So I'm like, bourbon bar? Okay. And we got up there and there's like beautiful furniture with like rockers and swings. It's like a classy Cracker Barrel. And they had a band playing live music after 7 that was sort of a country band, but not, you know, but accessible country, we'll say, not like, you know, really, really hardcore country.
They weren't playing Conway Twitty.
Yeah, and the cocktails were fantastic. And not only that, they had a couple of I had the Far From Manhattan, which was delicious. It's a Manhattan, but it has bourbon candied bacon in it instead of a cherry, which was so good. And then I had an PB&J Old Fashioned that had like a peanut butter bourbon in it, but it came with a little peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the side, like a little, yeah. And then the best one was the apple pie Old Fashioned. It had like cinnamon bitters or something, but there was an apple pie turnover on the side. This was not a McDonald's apple pie. This was your mama's. I rolled out the dough, the crust. I can't even talk about it. The crust was so flaky and buttery. It was so, so good. I would have had like 40 of those cocktails just to get the little sandwiches. They were so good. So do not skip it, but don't tell anybody else because you want all of those turnovers for yourself.
Is it, are all those drinks like standard included in the drink package or were they extra?
So I didn't get a drink package, so I don't know. But I think that they were in the $15 range. So they might not have been, but it would have been. I mean, it was worth it.
You just pay the difference though on Royal if it's
right
above their limit.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yep. Yeah. So do not skip it. So good. So good.
Cool. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.